The New Yorker Radio Hour is supported by the Sympathizer podcast from HBO. From executive producers Park Chan-wook and Robert Downey Jr., The Sympathizer is the new HBO original limited series based on the Pulitzer Prize-winning novel of the same name. On The Sympathizer podcast, join host Philip Nguyen in conversation with the cast, crew, and author Viet Thanh Nguyen as they discuss the making of this historic series. Stream new episodes of HBO's The Sympathizer, Sundays exclusively on Max, and listen to The Sympathizer podcast wherever you listen to podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
The director James Ivory made films set in England, in Italy, France, and India, so it comes as something of a surprise to hear that Ivory is a son of small-town America.
A really small town called Klamath Falls, and the main industries there was it was either lumber or ranching. I bet I know more about sawmills than any other American director, certainly.
That's a tall claim.
That's James Ivory talking with The New Yorker's Sarah Larson. Ivory left Oregon for film school and eventually made his way to India and then teamed up with Ismail Merchant. The two of them, Merchant and Ivory, became life partners and also a filmmaking team, directing and producing dozens of movies together, some of the most literary we know in modern times. That partnership, unique as it was, lasted for decades until Merchant's death in 2005. For much of that time, they had a third partner in screenwriter Ruth Prower Jubvala, who wrote more than half their movies. Moviegoers came to know a Merchant Ivory film as a particular kind of thing. Call it a period film that's beautifully made, but one that instead of being stuffy and proper, is kind of sexy. The 1987 film Morris has just been re-released and it's in select theaters. Morris came out just after the big hit A Room with a View, and the movies are kind of twins. Both are love stories based on novels by E.M. Forster.
Any nook does for me, but it does seem hard that you shouldn't have a view.
No, you must have a view too.
What took me to A Room with a View and Forster was the fact, I think, that I wanted to go back to Italy, where I really kind of started out. And I always loved Italy. And for something like 20 years, I never ever went to Italy because I was always in India.
Yeah. The love of Italy really comes through in A Room with a View.
I'm glad.
There's a great and funny contrast in the novel and the movie between the people who are innocent to Florence and don't know anything about it and the people who are proud of how much they know,
right,
and that they're experts.
Well, you see that today. That has never gone away.
It is only by going off the track that you get to know the country. See the little towns, Gubbio, Settignano, Galuzzo, San Gimignano, Montaregione.
But our real guide was Forster himself,
yeah,
who had set many of the most important scenes in very particular places. Some of the locations were there to be used, like Santa Croce. I mean, the big, enormous church, which I don't know how in the world we were able to light it, but we did. And then there was the whole business of the famous view, the view that Charlotte and Lucy didn't have from their window. They hoped
right.
They'd have. By the time we made the film, that view had a motorway along it. So
that's
we had to
good.
Do a whole other thing. We had to reverse the view, but there was no building high enough. So we had to build a room on a terrace. So that's fake walls, fake wallpaper, window. Everything is all built on a terrace. But it worked.
That movie really changed things for you. That it was such a critical success and it was such a commercial success. Can you talk about how things changed for you after that?
Well, I think it was that we had made this film, which was a big box office success, for very, very little money. And when you do that, and people in Hollywood are interested to know your secret, and they're interested in getting to know you, and they did they did get to know us.
Part of your ability to make movies on what would be considered a shoestring budget, I think, had to do with Merchant and his producing abilities. He seemed to have this magical ability to make things happen that were kind of impossible.
Well, that's absolutely true. There are all, so many impossible things that he made happen. We got up on the roof of Versailles, which they had just repaired, and they didn't really want us up on the roof. And I don't know what he...
What movie was that?
Jefferson Paris.
Ah, right.
I don't know what he told the curator of Versailles, but he learned that she was a great enthusiast for of Indian spirituality and Indian religions and Hinduism, and he organized for her to come and have lunch with him. Now, he was a devout Muslim, mind you. And then we did get up on the roof with all the crew and were able to shoot.
So after you made A Room with a View, you kind of could have done anything you wanted to. And the movie you chose to make was Morris, which is just was restored also in a new print. Let's just describe the plot of Morris a little bit. It's about a young man named Morris, and he goes to Cambridge, and he has kind of a platonic love affair with a man.
He was passionately in love with Clive.
Yeah.
But then Clive didn't want to go forward, and he didn't want it to go into the area of the physical, which was terribly frustrating for Morris.
I thought it was the worst crime in the calendar. Durham, I love you. In your very own way.
Rubbish, as you so rightly said. I'm thankful that it was into your hands I fell. Most men would have reported me to the dean or the police.
This, in a way, is the other side of the coin of A Room with a View. And a young person gets muddled and lives and thinks dishonestly about themselves and who they are and what they are and all the rest of it, and chooses to live within a kind of a hypocrisy, a social hypocrisy of one kind or another, which would have an enormous effect on their later lives. So I gave the book to Isabel to read. Ruth had already read it. She was not enthusiastic at all, but we...
Why was that?
She felt that... she thought it was not a successful book as a work of fiction, which was actually the attitude of Forster's estate at King's College in Cambridge. We'd already asked for A Room with a View and been allowed to do it. When we asked for Morris, they were doubtful, and it really wasn't about the fact that it's basically a homosexual story. They felt that perhaps, you know, the general idea about Forster's fiction might go down a notch or two if we made Morris. Hmm. But it really wasn't a sexual fears or things like it truly wasn't. I'm convinced.
You cast James Wilby as Morris.
Right.
Rupert Graves as Scudder, the under gamekeeper, and Hugh Grant as the very in love and then very uptight Clive.
I've thought about this solidly for the last month and a half. We've got to change, you and I.
Can the leopard change his spots? Clive, you're in a muddle. What is it you're afraid to tell me? You can't trust anyone else. Even our outlaws. All this will be taken away from us if people knew.
Precisely. By continuing like this, you and I are risking everything we have. Our careers, our families, our names.
Balls. I don't give a damn about name. What sort of a life would I have without you? You're the only happiness there is for me.
There are other ways to be happy, you know. We could explore those a little.
Not for me.
Morris, think how easy life is for people who don't have to go through all this. This secrecy. Never being able to talk about the person whom you're in love with to anybody. Always being asked when you're going to get married and having every bloody girl paraded in front of you because your family is so desperate.
You want to get married? Is that it? You're in love with some girl? Who is it?
No one. But don't you think it would be wonderful if there were someone who I could care about in the same way that I do about you?
He made a wonderful Clive.
But he was a great Clive. Do you know how he started out? He was a stand-up comic.
Hugh Grant?
Hugh Grant. You want to know who some others were?
Yes.
Maggie Smith?
What?
Yeah. Emma?
Emma Thompson?
Yes.
What?
She was. They were all stand-up comics.
I can't believe this.
And that helped.
This is mind-blowing.
So, I mean, there's no funnier woman than Maggie Smith.
That I can imagine, yeah. Morris has an unusual history because Forster, who was gay himself, wrote it in 1913 and 1914, but it wasn't published until after his death.
Well, he couldn't. He would have been punished by the obscenity laws in England at that time. And it was not just about publishing obscene works, and that would have been considered obscene simply because of, well, not only the general subject matter and the scenes in it, but the fact that it had a happy ending. He was determined to write that novel to have a happy ending. But homosexuality really was a crime at that point. I mean, Clive marries, and he doesn't see Morris for a while, but Clive and Morris become friends again, and Morris is invited down to Clive's estate. While Morris is there, Clive's under-gamekeeper, who's a very sexy young man, he goes after Morris. And this is where I think a lot of people have a problem with the book.
Why?
People are, where happy endings are concerned, they think of it as a kind of a tacked-on thing. Hmm. But that was very, very important to, deeply, deeply important to Forster that, in fact, this story have a happy ending. And that these two, Morris and the under-gamekeeper, in fact, plan a life together. If you go to see various films about gay romances, even a film like Brokeback Mountain, sooner or later, the people suffer. The kind of moral punishment or, a punishment from on high.
I really love that Forster wanted to wait to publish it until it was possible to have the happy ending that he wanted. And then, you know, it was also a very fraught moment culturally when Morris was made and released. It was 1987. It was the height of the AIDS crisis.
Right. Which is why I think it was accepted in this country anyway. It was less accepted in England, but that didn't happen in this country. It had an audience, a receptive audience and sympathetic audience from the very first days. Perhaps people didn't dare attack it because at just that particular moment and what was happening, they didn't dare. People might have attacked it, but they didn't want to appear to hard-hearted and take up any sort of attitude which might be seen as punishing and so on just then.
Right. I saw an interview with Rupert Graves where he said he'd gotten many letters and heard many things over the years from people thanking him for that movie and for his role in that movie.
Yes, there are many, many people who've come up to me over the years and very often teenagers and thanked me. And once I had this going along the street, and a bus came along, and a guy jumped off the bus and ran up to me and grabbed me and said he wanted to thank me, and I had changed his life and all this sort of thing because of Morris.
Wow.
Yeah.
Who was that man?
I don't know. I don't know. Then he went away.
Did people do that for, say, Howard's End or?
Well, Room with a View was a kind of a life changer for a lot of girls, it seems.
That's a good point. That's a very good point.
And I hope a lot of people go and see Morris now because there's still a lot of mixed up 17-year-olds who may get something from the movie.
That's very true. And it's,
that has never changed, you know.
Yeah.
That was one of the reasons I made Morris. I mean, I felt those problems and situations and the dishonesties and so forth, it's just as true today as it ever was then.
Well, James Ivory, thank you so much for talking to us.
Oh, you're welcome. It was enjoyable.
Director James Ivory. His 1987 film Morris, made with Ismail Merchant, is in limited release. He spoke with The New Yorker's Sarah Larson.
The
WNYC Studios is brought to you by ZBiotics. Seize the day after a night of drinks with ZBiotics pre-alcohol probiotic drink. ZBiotics was invented by PhD scientists to break down the byproduct of alcohol, which is most responsible for making you feel crummy the next day. Drink ZBiotics before your first drink, drink responsibly, and you'll wake up refreshed and ready to take on the day. Try it for yourself at ZBiotics.com/WNYC and get 15% off your first order when you use WNYC at checkout. That's ZBiotics.com/WNYC and use the code WNYC at checkout for 15% off.